Well, good afternoon, wonderful people. Pray you'll all be blessed in the presence of God tonight, and all of you that are online watching. Keep in mind our upcoming announcements. It looks as if there's just one. This Sunday night will be our church Christmas party at 6 o'clock in the Family Life Center. I believe that's the only big announcement for the... Then Christmas Sunday will be the Sunday after that. I think that will be the 22nd. Okay, if you want to stand, we're going to do some hymns for him. First of all, we will do Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Isn't it amazing and a wonderful thing to have steadfast, everlasting arms to lean on? Isn't it wonderful? Okay, what a fellowship, what a joy divinely, lean on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, lean on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Lean on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. I'm safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, we thank you, Lord, so much tonight. Oh, it's just an awesome privilege to serve you. We thank you, Lord. While you remain standing, we're going to take a few knees before the Lord. Brother Tiny Freeland is in the Dallas hospital, and he's waiting on open heart surgery. So let's continue to pray for him. And Sister Dickie has an appointment to see a specialist tomorrow about her severe back pain. Let's pray for her. Jason Kraub had both hips replaced yesterday, and he's in a lot of pain. Let's remember the Drake family in prayer. Brother Troy Drake passed away. His funeral will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Pathway Church of God. They are just a precious family that have been good friends of ours ever since we've lived here. Brother Ronnie Gidrose has been in the hospital in in Houston with heart issues, but he got to go home yesterday. So we're thankful for that. Let's pray for Wanda Armstrong's continued healing from the surgery she had. Katie Bean has a cyst on her brain. Charles Scarborough is going to have shoulder surgery, and we want to continue to pray for Brother Chad McQueen for healing in his body. Kenny Ham is battling cancer. Cindy Pinson wants us to pray for a good report from her test. And let's remember Kyron Hamner tonight in prayer. She isn't well. So let's take these needs before the Lord. God, you've heard every name that has been called tonight. You know the need. Not only do you know the need, but you are able to take care of every need. There is nothing too large. There is nothing too small that you aren't concerned about. Tonight we pray healing. We pray healing in the bodies of these people whose names were called. We pray comfort in the hearts of those who have lost loved ones. And we thank you, Lord, so much that you are our healer. We thank you, Lord. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nails scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nails scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus. Oh, can we thank him tonight? Oh, God, we thank you tonight that you hear our prayers. You answer our prayers. We want you to know that from the bottom of our hearts that we appreciate everything that you have been, everything that you are going to be. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're going to sing another hymn. If you want to be seated, you're welcome to. Or if you prefer standing, that is up to you. Oh, we're going to sing about victory. Victory in Jesus. Okay. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, and how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there that song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh yes, thank you, Lord. Oh, there is victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus.
God bless you as you're seated. What a genuine joy it is to have a true knowledge of what Jesus is trying to do in this world right now, tonight. He is looking for a way to show himself strong tonight. He wants to show himself strong in wisdom, in spirit, in truth, and empowerment, so that we can do the work of the Lord every day. What a joy it is. And so tonight, we're going to let the ushers come. We don't have to have music. They just love doing it. On your mark, get set. Father, thank you for these people that so consistently keep this house in such a way that no one's embarrassed to ever come. And I praise you for their spirit. And I pray that you bless them accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the greatest joys in the world . Not really closing the Bible to nothing, but I like for it to be up on the pulpit, so. But it's one of the greatest joys in the world to know what God's up to, and whatever he's up to, he will always finish it. And so we are thrilled beyond words when we know he lives by his spirit in our heart, in our mind. And so it is a joy to be a pastor and preacher. Not always feels good, but it always is good to know that his word preached can build faith and empower the weakest to become strong. So tonight, I'm going to be a little bit fast, but I want to tell you the basis of this entire message, and it will not be able to be preached or taught tonight. But the basis of this message is simply this. God is greater than anything you will ever go through. There will be nothing that you cannot go through. Part of the message tonight will be a little speedy. I've had it put on paper, so my Bible's here close, because I like to know that, I want people to know that I studied that book. That is the key book for this hour, for sure. God starts in Numbers, the 23rd chapter, always keeps his promises. Psalms 139, God created and knows us. Proverbs 33, God chose us. And in 2 Peter 2 and 9, he chose us. God is always with us. According to Deuteronomy 31 and 8, God never forgets us. According to the prophet Isaiah in 49, God watches over our lives and keeps us. Psalms 121. God has plans to prosper us and give us hope. Jeremiah 29 and 22 through 23. God strengthens us and helps us, standing by during any occasion. Isaiah prophesied it to be that way. Now, if those are not true, this is just a bunch of baloney. But if that's true, we need to use our faith and latch on to every bit of the Word of God and let the Spirit of Truth guide us through the dark hours that your world is experiencing. Now, again, I'm saving a lot of this for some ever future, but I put as much on paper as I dared to, because the river of life has been flowing the last few weeks. Now I'm going to turn to Zephaniah, and I'm going to read part of his prophetic future for the people that love God. And God's plan for you is foolproof. I mean, it is impossible for him to lie. And he said, I will save you if you will turn to me with all of your heart. So God is greater than what you will ever go through. I want to saturate our mind on this Wednesday night. You will never face a test that you, with God, cannot go through. He is with us, and he is for us, and he has plans for us. So Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. We're talking way before Jesus got here on earth. The Lord hath taken away all thy judgments, and he hath cast out thine enemy. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God, catch a hold on it, in the midst of thee. I wish you'd just sort of look at somebody and tell them he's right here now. You don't have to wait on him. He is here right now. And he is here to arrest any foreign agent that is trying to trip you or ship you off to another foreign country. The Lord thy God is so wonderful. Verse 16, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Jerusalem, and to Zion, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that have been sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Every one of us have felt the fatigue of flesh by times. Every one of us have felt the weariness of not being able to answer the question immediately. But he said, I'm telling you, I'm a God that's close at hand. I'm a God that's willing to receive. I'm a God that's willing to donate. I am a God that is never slack concerning my promises. Verse 19, behold, watch this one. And I just kept just oohing and aahing over it today. At that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. I'm just about to have a fit right now, folks. I just tell you the truth about it. I know this stuff is real, and I know it's going to be great, and I know our lives are about to take on a new dimension of His glory. He said, I will get them praise and fame. Not just praise, fame goes with praise. Fame. The people that come to this house, as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, you're going to sense they can't take it. They'll either run or they'll run to the altar. At some point, there is a surrounding massive revival in the atmosphere. And we call it revival because it is going to be the people that suddenly in the middle of it have doubted, they have feared, they have wondered if they could live it, they have wondered if it could be really real, and all of a sudden they're going to see things that you and I are going to perpetrate, and it is going to feel this community. I may not be here physically, but my spirit is going to still be here long after my mortal body's gone. I still feel the spirit of my elders that have gone on to the graveyard. Many of the people that trained and taught me how to live for God are already in the holy city, or at least ready for the holy city. We ought to clap our hands a minute for God doing what He's already done, and let Him know without a question we are His kids, and we believe that He fathered us, and we believe that He's coming to get us, and in the between He's going to protect us. Hallelujah. There is a rhythm them to this. Verse 20, at that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. Somebody say rapture. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you that the church isn't going to go up without the people watching. As you have seen Him go, so shall He come again in like manner. All that's in the book. That is not some suggestion that maybe the world will see the church rise out. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to be watching when the church gets out of here. You want to have done what we're doing tonight, girding up the loins of our mind and praising God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and raising up little kids. Hold up that little kid. Well, we're going to keep raising them up. And we're going to keep Sunday school going, Brother Bolton. We're going to keep Wednesday nights going. We're going to keep Sunday school going. We're going to keep revival services going. We're not slacking. He said, even in the last days, get together more. And that's what we're going to do. We're not ashamed of getting together because we know that we strengthen each other. And so this study, our message, is all about what God desires to give you, and you by faith will receive the promise of that which you wait for patiently with great and wonderful results. Now, God wants more for you than you can imagine. Go ahead and stretch your imagination. But I can promise you, according to His Word, you will never even imagine what all He has planned for the rest of this next year. That ought to satisfy our need for prayer. That ought to put us in a position to study so that we are prepared to latch on as every preacher comes through and every teacher comes through and every prayer meeting begins to weld us into the promises and the privileges of the Almighty God. I'm telling you tonight, folks, there is an anointing in this house tonight. It's not the preacher. It is the mighty work of the angels that have surrounded this building. I have sensed their presence ever since I walked in early this afternoon. There is an authority of the Word and the promises of the Word. So if January is often a month of new beginnings, a new year's clean slate, which we greet with a this year is going to be a different kind of optimism, then February is often a month of discouraging realism. We find our inflated hopes for a change having a sprung a leak and our feet are back on the difficult ground where we started. January starts it new, but it's soon all over just those weary, fatigued days. But the church, Halabahanda, is going to rise up above that this year. This church, not just this group in Paris, I'm talking about the church of the living God, is going to rise up in the middle of this hour, and they are going to be a true light to those who sit in darkness. That word of God cannot be overcome. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an authority that is going to happen in your mind and your heart as you receive the word of God. In the upcoming months, you are going to be able to cast out demons. I'm not talking about people seeing you cast out demons. I'm talking about a thought that tries to come in and make you feel like you can't make it, or that your brothers don't care, or that your sisters are not qualified, or all of that junk that the demons try to produce. I'm here to tell you we're going to cast out demons, and we're going to cast out devils, and we're going to move forward in the name of Jesus. The word of the Lord is a sure foundation. We're not going to fall down. We're going to stand up. We're not going to be weary in well-doing. We're going to be refreshed in the Word of God and in the Holy Ghost authority. And we are going to look demons in the eye and say, I know who you are. And you're not about to take my kids out. And you're not about to take my wife out. And you're not about to take my husband out. And you're not taking my cousins out. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And I'm going to live a light of light, a love of light. And I am going to shout out and dance in the presence of God so the angels encamp around about them that fear the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this Wednesday night Bible study is all about gird up the loins of your mind and be ye ready. I'm here on Dandayalabahaya. There's a figurine of the glory of anointing that's going to come on everybody here tonight. If you'll receive it, you're going to find a tomorrow where you wake up and say, I'm so glad it's another day. Tonight, now, you must resolve the issue of life. If you're doubting, if you're living underprivileged spiritually, if you know anybody that's living spiritually underprivileged and they're not joyful in the Lord and they're not filled with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, they are going to need a nudge and tell them, say, look, man, I'm telling you, I've had tough days. I've had worried days. I've had weary days. But I know that God loves you and I love you and we're going to help you. God, who is our life, moved into you through being born again. I'm going to say it again. God, who is our life, moved into you through being born again, if you have been born again. And He made up His mind way back yonder. He didn't have to worry about what he thinks about you today. He hasn't had to worry about what you're going through today. I'm telling you, you may have been worried about how things are going with the world and how things are going with other people, but I'm telling you, God's still in control. He is the one that gives you every breath. He gives you every thought. He gives you every possible illustration in that Bible that gives you the government to rise up against all the powers of hell and trample over the powers of the enemy any day you want to. You call on that name and you begin to worship that name. You can't make everybody do what you want them to do, but you can make yourself do what you want to do, and you can have what you want to have. And I'm telling you, he is not underprivileged, and he's not undernourished, and he's not overwhelmed. So, there remains authority and power through the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about just saying the name. The worst sinners say the name of Jesus and take it in vain. There is a reason when he said, be careful about using the name of the Lord in vain. That's why we pastors try to tell people, don't use the term, oh, Jesus Christ. That's a bunch of garbage. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. And we don't go to the other side of it and damn the word God. We understand that we are in alignment with him, and we never take that name in vain. We never mistrust. Not even God could do that. That's a bunch of baloney that the devil and flesh wants to weary us with. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. I'm telling you, keep praying for your kids. Keep praying for your neighbors. Keep worshiping God, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We don't have to marshal a bunch of stuff to here, there, and yonder. I'm here to tell you, I thank God for a beautiful sanctuary, and I thank God for a beautiful place on the loop. I thank God for the acreage he's given us. I thank him for the kind, wonderful building we have over here for other places, other activities. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful. But I was thankful before I got all of that. I was thankful before I was all involved with all of you wonderful people. I'm here to tell you, he has given us revival. He's going to keep giving us revival. He's going to keep restoring souls. He's going to keep making life wonderful in the middle of the darkness. He's still the light of the world. There's nothing that's going to put out his light. Now, we can keep the light out by doubts and abuse to his word, and abuse to our brothers, and abuse to our sisters. And we don't do that, because if we have aught against them, we don't talk about them. We go to them in the spirit of meekness and fear. Anybody that touches the anointed, the brothers and sisters, with their voice and their tongue, when they're out of the spirit of it, I tell you, old sister so-and-so, and I tell you, old brother so-and-so, and I tell you, that's a bunch of junk. That's how the devil derails churches. That's how the devil derails homes. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't want to talk bad about myself, and I don't want to talk bad about a neighbor. Ladies and gentlemen, it is high time, the Bible said in the book of Romans, that we awaken to the get sensitive, is what he's using that word. We be awakened is to become sensitive to what we say, how we say it, and why we say it, and what we really plan on as a result of what we say. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an oasis of God's glory in this house tonight. I'm telling you, it's been all through this church building today. Tonight, you and I must resolve the issue that there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper or take you out. You don't ever have to fail. Don't care how many people tell you you're pitiful. Don't care how many people you're this or that or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, you know if you're walking in Christ, because there's peace and joy and righteousness when you're walking in the bloodline. There remains authority and power through the name of Jesus. That's why we don't just say, oh, Jesus Christ. We don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Oh, my Christ. Yeah, my goodness, what you doing that for? That's taking the name of the Lord. We don't do that kind of stuff. We lift up that name. We begin to praise that name. Thank you, God, for love. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. Oh, Jesus, I can't thank you enough. My praise can't reach far enough. My praise can't be glorious enough. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. And God is wanting to bless you. Too much of the time, we get the idea that we've got to be doing so much for God. That some of us preachers have been guilty of that. You ought to do this, and you ought to be doing that, and you ought to do this. No, no, no. You get to do this. You get to pray. You get to obey. You get to live godly and holy in your voice and your actions. You get the opportunity to do that. Because when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes the enemies to be at peace with us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're discouraged and you're wondering if this is all going to turn out right, and you're worried about and fearful about all that other stuff, you've got a flesh problem. You've got a weakness going on. I'm not talking just to people that's here at this church. I'm talking about the bunch of us that are listening in on the line. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is about to come. He didn't lie. He didn't act like that it might happen. I'm telling you that the trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I'm going to preach it with everything in me. I'm here to tell us tonight that God is our life. He made up his mind, and there's no weapon formed against him that can prosper, or us against us. There remains, when that's one of the reasons we don't ever say, oh, not unless you're truly in the spirit of that. Because that is not a name to be used as just a culture of this world. We don't take the name of Jesus in that way. And we try our best to help our brothers and sisters, because all authority and power come through that name of Jesus. And so we live according to the Jesus name and his word. So tonight we're talking about what God wants to do for you. He is not asking you to do anything but what he asked you to do to start with. Crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and be born again of his water and his spirit. So compared to what we can do for him is minuscule. What he is going to do for us is massive. I wish you'd tell somebody, God's fixing to do something big in your life. Because he said, I will come to you in the day of trouble. That's his promise to you. That's why you can say it with authority. God is fixing to do something for you. Why? Because he said trouble is with you always. You're going to have trouble. The reason that we tell people that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit is because of Acts 1:8. You shall receive power, not they. Not the whole group of people at the house of God, but the people that love him with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. They are reserved in every bit of that for the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to be able to enable kingdom privileges and kingdom powers and kingdom authorities. And so he said, let me tell you how this works. He said, yeah, there will come a day when if you're not careful, you'll get lukewarm. It'll just be a memory. It'll be just a yesterday's testimony. But he said, I'm going to tell you that the fire of faith, or the trial of faith, work of patience, and patience experience, and experience wisdom and knowledge, and all the above, ladies and gentlemen, it is not a time for us to be lukewarm and just average. How's the day going? Oh, I don't know. Not out of the people of God. No, this is the day that the Lord has made. I got up and I had breakfast. I got to work on a car. I got the end of the week and I had a paycheck. I have a wife or a husband and a children that I get a chance and a choice to bless them with the wonderful works of God and the wonderful thoughts of God and the wonderful privileges of freedom and God. And God wants to give you tonight, not just get from you. He wants to give you. He wants to give you. He wants to give you. It's his blessing, he said. Give and it shall be given. He understands the principle because he's already given us forgiveness. He's already forgiven us mercy. He's already given us wisdom. He's already given us the Holy Ghost. He's already given us a future. He's already given us a promise for tomorrow. When you get up in the morning, I can tell you who's going to be right there beside your bed. The master of life, the one that's going to keep you during the day, is the angels that God sends. And then keep your thoughts in perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, it is one of the most thrilling feelings to be a pastor in this generation. Infatuation is not enough. There are a lot of people that are infatuated with religion. They just got this idea, this mental idea, that because somebody told them you're saved, and they never do study the word, where the word saved fits in. The word saved actually occurs scores of times in the Bible. But he said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He's meaning just what he meant when we get forgiveness. When we are saved from lying. We are saved from spiritual wickedness. We are saved out of weak minds. We are saved out of, and then we are saved into the strength of the Word. We are saved into the power of the Holy Ghost. We are saved by the blood into the bloodline. And that name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when all of a sudden the world's going to look down at those people. Look up at those people that are baptized in the name of Jesus. Because when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, the book says it all. It says we are risen to walk in the newness of life. It's not a big deal to join a Pentecostal church. It's a big deal to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, all authority in heaven and in earth abide. And that's where the angels get their ministry to us, Sister Tammy. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Word of God and the spirit of angels begin to come to your mind and heart, particularly if you're talking in the heavenly language, those angels begin to swarm around you. And I can tell you what will happen. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you won't be feeling discouraged. You won't be feeling like you can't make it. You won't be feeling like your kids are not coming in. You're not going to feel like that we can't get this thing done. I'm here to tell you, ladies and and gentlemen, when you walk in the Spirit, you have power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing, somebody say nothing, shall by any means harm you. I'm here to tell you, it's a harm when you're worried. It's a harm when you're doubting. It's a harm when all that other stuff's going on. But it is wonderful to walk in the perfect law of liberty and have a relationship with God that no matter what's going on in our world, God is able to secure thee. That word is just pull you out of what you're going through. Our problem with humanity is we want everything now. And that's why I said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. God wants more for us than we want for ourselves. We actually, if we're not careful, can get caught up in being more excited about the things we own than the one that owns us. That's huge. Let's stop and pray, man. Thank him. Not just pray, but just thank him. Because he has got so many things he wants to give you. He doesn't want to take anything away from you tonight. He just wants you to destroy anything that would minimize him in your life. God, for the sake of our kids, for the sake of our neighbors, for the sake of our city, set us afire. Wherever we go, every day, keep us in the holiness of God. Keep our voice in the estimable riches of the Word. Keep us, oh God, let the anointing never decrease because we're not in the house of God. We are the temple of God. We are the glory of God. You have put in us your wisdom and knowledge so that we can enjoy life in its supremacy and its glory. I think I'll go ahead and go with one more little area before I call the musicians to sing. This flesh is so weak. As I began to read about it and think about it and listen to the Word of God about it, it's so weak. Our flesh can get so fearful because it wants to take over. It wants to rule us. Because you see, all you have to do is somebody slap you a little bit. And your flesh will rise up. You want to kill them for the effort. I've been there. It's not just something new. I want to hurt them if they hurt me or my kids. That's what I want to do. Because this flesh has got to be crucified that quick. Or you'll do and violate the will of the kingdom or the king. Jesus Christ, the King, is watching. His eyes are far greater than any of these phones, satellites. He's looking for a place to show himself strong in behalf of them that love him. And so that's why he had Paul write 1 Corinthians 13, so that we don't have to have some guy that's been to some college to tell us what love is. St. John 3:16 tells us what it is, but Corinthians 13 tells us how to manage it. And that management is so critical. And so Jesus said, I am love. And then he turns around and says, I am the way. You can't defer love and Jesus and make them two different things. And so loving your neighbor is the same as loving Jesus. That's huge. Your flesh will rise up against that stuff. If you're not walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, your flesh will rise up against it and want to fight it. But God said, fight your flesh. Crucify your flesh. Because your flesh will lie to you. It's not going to go to the holy city. Your soul, your thought patterns are going to take you to a new dimension. And that is why that we preach hard and we preach long and we preach strong. So he says, and like the disciples, this is not only true regarding our fortitude, but our motives. Unless the Lord disciplines us, and this is Hebrews 12:3-11, we too tend to be more motivated in our resolves by a desire to be the greatest than a desire to truly serve others out of love, according to Luke 22:24. God wants far more for us than we typically want for ourselves. This is what Jesus said. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. That's John 6:63. In his school of discipleship, he is aiming at helping to learn to walk by the Spirit so we will not gratify the sinful desires of the flesh, according to Galatians 5. For the Christian, God uses the futility in Romans 8, as well as our sufferings in 2 Corinthians 4:17, as a means of producing a more profound transformation in us. See, that's where that scripture comes in so beautifully. We are changed into his image from glory to glory. And that's what the scripture is inviting us to realize, not threaten us. The fact that when us preachers preach hard or loud or get excited and try to rush through some of this stuff, that's not to damn anybody. That is to help excite us, just like you get excited over a football game. I just can hardly believe that a child of God would worship a quarterback or a game play team more than they do at the house of God. We're here to do King's business, and we destroy every demon that comes in this house threatening our kids in this holy place. This is the holy house of God. And the only way that we can keep it holy is praising and worshiping with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he said. And when you get together, clap your hands. When you get together, because here's what he's saying, and his whole concept is this, Sister Tammy, I will come to that place, and I will give you a reason to rejoice in a greater way. The more you praise him, the more you experience him, and the more you experience him, the greater are your victories. It is so big. There's not any of us preachers that can do it justice. It's just that we do the best we can in these kind of settings in which your world is going through, with drug addicts, with all kind of sinfulness. And years ago, nobody in Pentecostal churches had televisions. It wasn't just Pentecostal in the sense of the United Pentecostals. The Assembly of God didn't have them. The Church of God didn't have them. Most of the Nazarenes didn't have them. Many of the assemblies called churches would not have TV because it introduced vulgarity to the children. It introduced lust to people watching some of that stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to be extremely careful now. The fact that we have signed up to go to heaven doesn't mean that we to live in heavenly places and our kids are understanding how that we can go sit through a church service and be more excited about a ball game. You say, Pastor, that is very harsh. Harsh is not the word. Anxious to help you, to help your children, to help your future. Go listen to any college coach on a ball team. Hey, boy, get over there and get with it. I've been there. On other ball teams, I've seen them. I've listened to them. They holler at each other. And we worry about what the world thinks about us because we shout and dance and praise the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we're going to shake this city, we are going to shake off the flesh ruling our lives. I don't feel like worshiping. Nobody's going to make me worship. I am here because I felt like if I didn't show up, I wasn't still in the number. Ladies and gentlemen, being in the number is not near as important as being in the name. Because that's the authority by which we live and worship God. I'm going to cut it off right there. I've got about 3 or 4 more pages that I wanted to help us with. But tonight, God is already visited this place, and I encourage you to do everything you can to crucify that flesh every day and make sure that it's under subjection, and that every day you touch the hem of his garment, because your children and your mother, your wife, your husband, we all need it. Pray for the pastor, because he definitely needs it. And I come to you tonight with sharp words, but down inside of me, my heart is feeling the need for a church that is so excited about getting at the house of God so they can pray and create an atmosphere for victories and healings. Look around. Brothers and sisters, some of them are having some troubles in life. They ought never to worry. Hey, Sister Tammy, great to see you at the house of God. Would you mind shaking hands with 2 or 3 people and act like you're really happy about this church? Is there anybody else that would mind helping somebody just feel like they're somebody special? Maybe this would be a good time to do one of those old things that we used to do. Let brotherly love continue. Go ahead and sing. If anybody just wants to slip down to the altar and just praise the Lord, that's fine. If you want to praise him where you are, that's fine. If you just want to go hug somebody, that's fine. We're just here tonight to praise the name of the Lord in any way we can, to create an atmosphere. We are the body of Christ. We're not just a member of the body. We are the body of Christ. My brother, my sister, my uncle, my aunt, whatever you want to say it. We are here tonight to join in with the headship of Jesus and the promises that he has made. Thank you so much for everything you do to make this church a great place. We're just going to make it greater. We're going to keep growing. We're going to keep loving. We're going to keep forgiving. We're going to keep the grace of God alive. We're going to keep the love of the Holy Ghost alive. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thrill to be in the presence of the Almighty creative energy. The creative energy. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it. Oh, let the shout unto the Lord with a loud voice. Cry aloud, he says. I will come to those that seek me with all of their heart. I will give them everything they need. I will give them the joy. I will give them. It's not just us wanting you, God. We want you to give us what you need to satisfy your desire for us. Let's clap our hands at least one more time while they sing it. Shake hands with somebody. Pray for people tomorrow. Pray for your enemies tomorrow. Pray that God will revive. That this Sunday coming up will be one more great day.